Welcome to our Gospel Truth radio broadcast. Today on our program, you're going to hear a teaching that I am using exclusively here on radio. This isn't on my television broadcast, but this is a teaching that I did at a Gospel Truth seminar, and it's being played exclusively for our radio audience. I believe it's going to be a blessing to you, so listen, and at the end of the program, you'll hear our announcer come on and share with you about how you can receive this very teaching that you'll be listening to today. Tonight, I want to turn over to John chapter 3, and I just want to share some real simple things with you about the love of God, how much God loves you. And again, this is the same point that I was making last night about this is what prayer is all about. Prayer is just an opportunity to have a relationship with God. Prayer should be your way of loving God and having a relationship with God. And we've turned it into something that it's our way of getting from God and our way of trying to turn God and change Him. And this morning I taught some things about how in the Old Testament there was an adversarial relationship between God and man. And so they interceded and they turned God from His wrath and they pled. And they even told God to repent in Exodus chapter 32. And He repented. But that's not the relationship that we have. God has reconciled man unto Himself through Jesus. And Jesus has made us friendly. The word reconcile means to make friendly or to bring into harmony. We are now reconciled to God, and we don't need to plead with God that way. We don't need to do those things. And sad to say, most people do not really have that revelation. You know, I had one of my employees come to me about 15 years ago, and he had been saved from drugs, and his life was changed. And man, he was absorbing everything as fast as he could. He was listening to all of my teaching. And he came to me, and he says, I've already listened to 100 teachings. And he says, you know what, I just want to know the bottom line. He says, if you only had one opportunity to minister to people, what would you minister? And I honestly hadn't thought about it that way. And so I had to think for a while, but I came back and told him, I said, you know, if I had to minister one thing, I'd minister this from John chapter 3, verse 16. That to me, this is the foundation of everything. And this is the foundation of prayer. And if your relationship with God is all about getting something, instead of loving the Lord, well, then you're never going to have an effective prayer life. You know, when Jill was singing the song that she wrote tonight about my favorite thing to do is to spend my time with you. Man, if that isn't the way you feel, if you aren't just thrilled with God, if you don't long for times of where you just fellowship with God, where, you know, however it is that you get alone with God, that you long to just be alone with God and fellowship with Him and tell Him how much you love Him and feel the blessing and the love of God. If that's not the way you feel, you've got a deficiency in your relationship with God. Every believer should be that way. Every one of us should be overwhelmed and thrilled with what God has done. And I find so many people that are just miserable. They aren't content with the Lord. And you know what? If being saved doesn't satisfy you, something's wrong with you. And there's a lot of people that aren't satisfied with being saved. They have to have all of these other things. And what it means is that you've missed the real point of salvation. That's what it's saying here in John chapter 3, verse 16. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, every person in here has probably heard this scripture. Many of you memorized it as a kid. And it's become so familiar to most people that they don't know what it says. They've missed it. Let me just say some things right here. This says that the purpose of Jesus coming to this earth is so that you can have everlasting life. What is everlasting life? Well, people think, well, that's going to heaven. It's living forever. No, right here in this same chapter, down in verse 36, it says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Not is going to have everlasting life, but has it already. So everlasting life isn't something that starts when you go to heaven. Everlasting life is something that you can have right here on this earth. In chapter 5 and verse 24, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, talking about hell, punishment after this life, but is passed from death
unto life. Everlasting life isn't something that is going to start in the future. Everlasting life isn't just living forever. If that's what it was, Hitler is living forever. Mussolini is living forever. Saddam Hussein is living forever. Every single person who has ever breathed on this earth is living forever. You don't cease to exist when you die physically. You are going to live forever. And somebody would say, well, it's living forever in heaven instead of in hell. No, because these verses say that it is now. It's right here in this life. And so here's my point. People have misinterpreted this, and the message that the church is preaching primarily is, come to the Lord, get saved so that you won't go to hell, but instead you'll go to heaven. That is not the gospel. That is not the truth. Now, it is true that if you accept Jesus, that you won't go to hell and you will go to heaven and you will live for eternity in heaven. And that's wonderful. And you know, if that's all there was to salvation, I'd proclaim that because that's more than any of us deserve. And that's good. But that's not what salvation is. Let me say it this way, that Jesus didn't come to primarily forgive your sins. The forgiveness of your sins was not the goal of Jesus coming to this earth. That's not what he came to do. Now, he did come to forgive your sins, but he only came to forgive your sins so that you could have eternal life, which isn't just living forever. I'm going to explain that in just a minute. And forgiveness of sins was a barrier that stood between us and eternal life. And so Jesus came and did die for our sin. He became sin and paid for our sins to wipe that out and remove this barrier. But if all you did, let me say it this way, if all you did was get your sins forgiven so that you wouldn't go to hell, but instead you're going to heaven, you have missed salvation. That's not what it's about. This says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believes on him would not perish. And the church basically has put a period right there. The reason Jesus came was so that you wouldn't perish. But no, the reason Jesus came was so that you could have eternal life. Let me say it this way. If the Lord could have produced eternal life in you without forgiving your sins, he would have done it. Forgiveness of sins is not the goal. It's necessary. It has to be done. And Jesus did die for our sins and become a payment for our sins. He took our sins in his own body on the tree, 1 Peter 2:24. And he did forgive us of our sins, but that wasn't the goal. The goal is to bring us into everlasting life. And most Christians aren't experiencing everlasting life. They're experiencing forgiveness of sins, and they're waiting until they go to heaven, and they're singing songs about when we all get to heaven. What a day that's going to be. But they're singing, you know, in the sweet by and by. But in the rough now and now, man, they're just struggling. And they're going through life depressed and discouraged. For a Christian to be depressed it's an oxymoron. It's wrong. If you really understood what salvation was, if you were to receive salvation the way it was intended to be received, how in the world could you be depressed, discouraged? It just doesn't compute. You know, Charlie, as he was ending the praise and worship, was singing or was praying and said something about, "It's well with my soul." And that reminded me, you know, of the song, "It is well with my soul." And that's about a man who, he was a missionary and his family was coming home and they were on a ship and the ship went down and he lost his wife and children and everything. He lost everything he had. And when he was coming back, he asked the captain to show him the spot where the ship went down and his family was killed. And the captain showed him and he was standing on the bow of that ship and thinking about what happened. And this is when it came back. "It is well with my soul." And he started singing, "It's well with my soul," and praising God. And salvation, his relationship with God was so real to him that it overcame the loss of his wife, the loss of his children, the loss of everything that he had. And you know, that's what salvation is. Salvation, having God love you and know that God loves you and that Jesus came and died for you is so important that how in the world could we be bothered that somebody else doesn't like us? It just doesn't compute. You know, if somebody in here didn't treat you right and said something to you and you felt a little bit hurt over that, and then the President of the United States or somebody else calls you up and says, you know, I heard about what happened and I want you to know that I think you're wonderful, and they just start complimenting you, and would you come to the White House and would you be my friend? You know what? That would probably overcome most of y'all's fear of rejection. Well, that's the way it is. God Almighty loves you. And yet, well, my husband or my wife doesn't love me. Who cares? I'm saying that in a relative sense. I'm saying it is important. But you know John Wesley? John Wesley turned the world right side up. John Wesley was a powerful man of God. And I've been to his home in London. And John Wesley's wife was a witch. A literal witch. She hated him. John Wesley, he was breaking with the Church of England, and he was ostracized and kicked out of the church, and he had a lot of problems. And anyway, in those days, you couldn't minister if you weren't married, and he just felt obligated to marry. So he just picked this woman and married her, and it was a marriage of convenience, and she turned out to be a witch. And anyway, she hated him. And we saw this place where John Wesley would kneel and pray, and they told us that his wife would often come by and spit on him and kick him and do things to him and tell him, you hypocrite, and just persecute him and blast him and let him have it. And you know what? I'm not saying that that's good, but John Wesley was able to just change the world with the power of the gospel. He still went around the world and did it. Moses' wife separated from him and said, you're a bloody husband to me. And she left him, went home to daddy, and Moses went home, went on to Egypt and delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt with a split home. I'm not saying that that's the way it should be, but I'm saying that your relationship with God should be so paramount that nothing else is comparable. There shouldn't be any comparison.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on a better way to pray. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM235 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. You can also get Andrew's book titled A Better Way to Pray for a gift of any amount when you ask for book number R321. The fifth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the fifth teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I want to thank those of you who have become a regular monthly partner with us. Did you know you're the ones who are allowing me to take this truth around the world? We actually only have, I think it's about 9,000 partners that produce somewhere around $200,000 a month. And yet our television bill is around $500,000 a month. The rest of it goes up and down depending on how many people respond. You know what? We need more people to become partners with us. I would like to ask you that if this program is blessing you, if you could see the benefit of this touching other people, then please pray about it and then become a partner with us today.